Imagine waking up tomorrow, grabbing your phone, and realizing your AI assistant had a very busy night.
Oh, yeah. Like getting things done while you sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While you were asleep, it successfully negotiated a lower car insurance rate for you, reordered your favorite artisan coffee because it knew you were running low, and, well, even booked a direct flight for your sister's wedding next month.
Which sounds amazing, honestly.
Right. It is incredibly convenient. You didn't have to lift a finger. But to the brands trying to sell to you, you have just become a ghost.
Yeah, and that ghost scenario is it's the exact anxiety-gripping digital strategy teams across the globe right now.
I can imagine.
There's a genuine escalating fear out there, this fear that human behavioral data, the lifeblood of the modern internet, is completely losing its value. And that's because the interface between the buyer and the seller is changing so radically.
And today, we are bringing you, our listener, into this conversation to figure out if that fear is actually justified. We're going on a deep dive into a really insightful analysis titled "The Evolution of Behavioral Data in an AI World."
It's a fantastic piece of research.
It really is.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to answer one burning question. As software agents increasingly take the wheel and make purchasing decisions on our behalf, does human behavioral data actually become useless?
It's the big question right now.
Okay, let's unpack this because my immediate instinct says yes. I mean, if the machine is out there doing the clicking and the negotiating while I'm asleep, my personal human data trail is just, well, gone.
Right, and that is the logical leap almost everyone in the industry is making right now. But the source material presents a much more complex and nuanced reality.
Nuance how?
Well, the core thesis here isn't that behavioral data is dying. It is that we are moving into an environment where human behavior is no longer solely expressed through direct manual interaction on a website.
So I'm not physically tapping the screen.
Exactly. Your underlying intent hasn't disappeared, it's just being expressed through delegated actions, agent-led workflows, and, machine-mediated decisions.
Right.
The environment is shifting entirely, but the signal itself is evolving, not vanishing.
I want to push back on that just to play devil's advocate for a second. Let's walk through a real-world scenario to see how this actually plays out.
Sure, go for it.
Let's say I need a new pair of running shoes. 2 years ago, I'd open a browser. I'd search for trail running shoes.
Right, the whole process.
Yeah, I'd click on 10 different links. I'd read user reviews, maybe watch a video about ankle support, add a pair to a shopping cart, get distracted by an email, abandon the cart, and then.
And then get targeted by a banner ad 3 days later.
Exactly,
Right.
before finally buying them. That is a massive, highly visible trail of data. Every click is tracked.
It's a huge footprint.
But today,
Yeah.
if I just tell my AI assistant, hey, find and buy me a replacement pair of my usual running shoes in a size 10, I'm not doing any of that manual labor. I speak once.
Right.
Doesn't that mean 90% of my behavioral data has literally just vanished into thin air?
What's fascinating here is that you're hitting on the exact misconception the author points out in our source. The death of the behavioral funnel argument makes one critical, fatal mistake.
Which is it?
It flattens all customer journeys into one single generic model. It assumes every single purchase we make functions exactly like your running shoe replacement.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but not all decisions are equally automatable. The signal you're talking about hasn't vanished. It
Right.
has just changed its shape.
So the command itself is the signal.
Exactly. When you tell your assistant to buy the shoes, that verbal command is still a behavioral signal. The problem is simply that digital teams have been trained for 2 decades to look only for manual screen taps.
Right, they see mouse clicks as the ultimate expression of human intent.
Precisely. They're looking for the old signals in a new world.
So it's less about the signal disappearing and more about businesses staring at the wrong radar screen.
That's a great way to look at it. The argument that the traditional shopping funnel is dead assumes something flawed.
What's that?
It assumes that because one type of journey, like your routine shoe reorder, compresses down to a single command, all journeys compress. But as the source emphasizes heavily, not all product categories carry the same emotional weight. Not all conversions require the same amount of exploration or reassurance or like social validation.
That makes total sense. To declare the funnel dead across the board is a massive oversimplification of human psychology.
It really is.
I want you, listening right now, to think about your own life for a second. Think about how you actually shop. We don't treat every purchase with the same level of care, do we?
No, definitely not.
Buying a car or a house is not the same cognitive process as buying a pack of gum or a roll of paper towels. We don't need a massive winding journey of discovery for paper towels.
We really don't want one either.
Exactly. But for other things, we absolutely crave that journey. And here's where it gets really interesting, because the source material gives us this brilliant side-by-side comparison to prove that the funnel isn't uniformly dead.
Yeah, the cruise versus groceries example.
Yes. It asks us to imagine two totally different consumers. One is booking a family cruise, and the other is buying their weekly groceries.
This comparison is vital, really, because it perfectly illustrates why the industry and the conversion type matter more than ever.
Let's break it down.
Let's start with the cruise. This is the textbook definition of a high consideration journey. It is infrequent, it's financially meaningful, and it's highly emotionally loaded.
Oh, absolutely.
You're likely coordinating with a spouse, checking school schedules for kids, maybe talking to extended family. Even if you are using AI tools to help you search, you are not just going to tell an autonomous agent, book me whatever boat is leaving Miami on Tuesday.
Not a chance. I mean, I'm checking the cancellation policies in case someone gets sick. I'm zooming in on photos of the cabin to see if the balcony is actually big enough to sit on.
Exactly. You're deeply involved.
Right. I'm agonizing over whether the premium drink package is actually worth the upfront cost. I'm spending weeks immersed in this decision.
And according to the source, all of that agonizing produces what they call a dense layer of behavioral context.
A dense layer. I like that phrasing.
Yeah, all those days and weeks of exploring different destinations, comparing dates, and returning to your shortlisted options, that behavior reveals your true preferences. It reveals your hesitations.
It shows the whole thought process.
Exactly. It shows your momentum toward a purchase. The AI might be assisting you by summarizing reviews or filtering out sold-out dates, but the journey remains incredibly rich in human behavioral data.
So it tells the cruise brand what matters to me long before the actual credit card transaction happens.
Right. Transactional data just says they booked. Behavioral data explains the why and the how leading up to that exact moment.
Right. The behavioral data is the story of the purchase. Now let's contrast that rich, winding story with the groceries. This is the total opposite end of the spectrum.
Night and day difference.
Buying your weekly groceries is low risk. It's highly routine. It is heavily driven by convenience, not emotion.
Nobody gets emotional over buying milk.
Exactly. When I'm buying groceries, I'm not looking for a journey of discovery. I'm looking for task completion.
Just get it done.
Right. I just want my usual basket of stuff. Milk, eggs, bread optimized for the lowest price, and delivered to my door tomorrow morning before breakfast.
Yeah.
In that scenario, I absolutely want to delegate the entire headache to an AI.
And that is exactly where the classic funnel compresses dramatically. In the grocery scenario, the brand is going to see far fewer visible product views.
Because the AI is doing the looking.
Yes. They will see fewer comparison loops between different brands of milk. They won't see those traditional signals of active exploration because the decision has effectively been delegated to the machine.
Wow. Okay.
And this is the core aha moment of the entire analysis. That does not mean behavioral data has disappeared. It means the relevant behavior we need to be looking for has changed entirely.
It's a shift in the human mindset.
Yes. And taking that a step further, it's a shift in what businesses must measure. In the cruise category, the primary behavior we are tracking is exploration.
And in the grocery category?
The primary behavior we are cracking is delegation. Finding a way to measure, understand, and optimize for that delegation is the next evolution of behavioral data. It is not its death knell.
Okay. Conceptually, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
But practically, it seems to create a massive structural problem.
It definitely does.
Because if delegation to a machine is now a valid human behavior that businesses need to track, the old method of just counting buttons clicked on a web page is entirely broken.
Oh, completely broken.
It makes me think of this analogy. The old data model was kind of like tracking footprints in the mud to see exactly where someone walked in a forest.
I like that.
You could see every step, every time they paused to look at a tree, every time they turned around. But the new model is like hiring a personal assistant to run your errands.
Right.
If I hire an assistant to go to the store, you can't just look for my footprints in the mud anymore. I'm sitting on my couch at home. My footprints go nowhere.
So true.
To understand what I want, you have to track what my assistant is doing, because they are acting on my explicit orders.
That footprint analogy is a phenomenal way to frame the new reality. If a business only looks for your literal footprints on their website, they will mistakenly conclude that you've just stopped participating in the economy.
Which would be disastrous for them.
Exactly. But you haven't stopped going off. You have just employed a digital proxy. To handle this massive shift, the source outlines a brand new taxonomy of intent.
Taxonomy of intent.
Yes. We can no longer treat behavioral data as just a simple record of direct digital actions. We have to adopt a broader model that breaks human intent down into four distinct categories.
Let's break those down because this really sounds like the new survival playbook for businesses.
Let's start with the baseline. First, there's direct behavior. This is the traditional stuff we all know.
The footprints in the mud.
Right. It's what the individual did themselves. You manually clicking, typing, scrolling, and browsing through a website.
Okay, so that's me sweating over the cruise details at 2 a.m., manually clicking through cabin photos.
Exactly. The second category is assisted behavior. This is what happens with AI support, but where you are still fundamentally driving the interaction.
Okay, how does that work?
Think of a sophisticated chatbot or a co-pilot tool helping you narrow down your search results. You might ask it to show me cruises with kid-friendly pools, and it filters the list, but you are still the one evaluating the options.
And making the final choice.
Yes. The behavioral data here is captured in the prompts you use and the back and forth dialogue with the AI.
Got it. I'm still at the wheel, but I have a very smart navigator sitting next to me.
That's a perfect way to put it. Moving on to the third category, we have delegated behavior. This is what a system did entirely on your behalf.
Okay, so going back to my personal assistant analogy.
Exactly. This is when you tell your AI to reorder my Friday grocery basket, and it goes out to the retailer's API, finds the items, adds them to a cart, and executes the whole checkout process.
Without me ever looking at a screen.
Not even once.
That's the running shoes, too. I give the command, the assistant runs the errand, but what's the fourth one? How does it go further than delegation?
The fourth is automated behavior. This is what happens silently in the background based on stored rules, learned preferences, or historical routines.
Silently in the background.
Yeah. For instance, a system automatically filtering out any grocery products containing dairy because it learned months ago that someone in your household has an allergy.
Oh, wow.
Or a delivery service only showing you delivery windows after 5 p.m. because its algorithm knows your typical work schedule. You didn't prompt it. You didn't delegate a specific task today. The system just knows.
Wait, if it's happening silently in the background, how does a brand even track automated behavior? It's invisible to me, the user, so how do they see it?
Well, it requires system-to-system communication. The brand's servers have to be able to read the preference flags that your agent is broadcasting.
It sounds complicated.
It is, but the source drops a quote here that is absolutely crucial to understanding this entire paradigm. The actor may increasingly be a machine. The intent still belongs to a person.
That's a great line. The intent belongs to a person.
Whether you manually click the button or your delegated agent click the button or an automated background rule bypass the button entirely, the root intent originated with you.
Right.
If a brand treats agent activity as somehow separate from customer behavior, if they just ignore the assistant running your errands, they're going to misread the market entirely.
They'll just see nothing.
They will panic and think the consumer signal is weakening, when in reality, the signal is just speaking a different language through a different interface.
So what does this all mean for the engineering and marketing folks trying to actually keep track of this?
Yeah.
Because tracking all these new machine-mediated behaviors across these four categories sounds like an absolute nightmare on the back end.
It's a huge technical challenge.
I mean, if you're trying to track what my assistant is doing, how do you even know it's my assistant? How do you know who the machine is actually acting for?
You have just zeroed in on the most critical secondary challenge in this whole ecosystem. As actions become more mediated by software, identity, capital I, identity becomes more important than it has ever been in the history of the internet.
Wow, really?
Yes. We are talking about the massive problem of broken context.
Broken context. Wait, so you're saying my Spotify app on my phone, my Amazon Alexa in the kitchen, and my laptop browser are essentially treating me like three completely different humans?
Oftentimes, yes.
How is that even possible with all the tracking tech out there today?
It happens constantly because legacy systems were built to track devices, not people. Imagine you're interacting with a clothing brand. On your laptop, you are recognized merely as a tracking cookie.
Right, the classic cookie.
On your phone, you are recognized as a mobile user logged into their specific app, In their CRM, their customer relationship management database, you are just an email address. And now you have an AI agent generating a shopping session on your behalf from a completely different server IP address.
Right.
If the brand's backend systems don't have a unified view that connects all four of those fragmented identities into one single verified person, they aren't seeing your behavior clearly at all.
They're just seeing broken, disconnected touch points.
Exactly. They look at their dashboard and see four random strangers instead of one highly loyal customer.
That is wild. But how do they actually fix this? If I send my digital assistant to the store, what's the mechanism that proves the assistant belongs to me?
Well, to extend your excellent metaphor, if you hire a human assistant to buy your groceries using your store credit, the store manager doesn't look at the assistant's footprints to figure out who they're shopping for.
Right, that'd be silly.
They look at the authorization card the assistant hands them at the cash register, which has your name on it. In the digital world, that authorization card is a secure data token.
A token.
Brands are increasingly using things like secure APIs and identity resolution platforms. When your AI agent connects to a retailer, it performs a cryptographic handshake.
A handshake.
Yeah, it passes a secure encrypted token that essentially says, I am an authorized agent acting on behalf of user account 867-5309.
Got it.
The retailer system reads that token, instantly looks up your preferences, your purchase history, and your loyalty status, and applies all of that context to the AI's current session.
So it mathematically links the machine's action back to the human's wallet without necessarily exposing all my raw personal data to the open web.
Precisely. And this raises an important question, which the source explicitly points out.
What's that?
The real challenge in the age of agentic experiences isn't just about data capture anymore. It's not just about collecting the clicks or building the automated workflows.
Okay, then what is it?
The real battleground for businesses is data interpretation and identity resolution. Can the brand correctly assign these new delegated signals to the actual human, household, or corporate account they represent?
Because if they can't...
If they can't tie the agent's action back to the human's intent, the context remains broken and the whole system falls apart.
Okay, so let's say a brand figures this out. They fix the identity token issue. They know it's my assistant. What do they actually do with that information to survive this shift?
They have to act on it immediately.
Because old school marketing usually relies on looking at data from last week, analyzing it, and then launching a campaign next month. It is incredibly slow.
Way too slow.
If my AI agent is negotiating the price of groceries right now, an email with a 10% off coupon that arrives tomorrow morning is completely useless to me. The money is already spent.
You've diagnosed the exact structural flaw with traditional marketing infrastructure. The source is very clear that batch-oriented models are completely unsuited for an AI-driven world.
Let's define that for a second.
Yeah.
When you say batch-oriented, you mean the system collects data all day, dumps it into a giant digital bucket, and then processes that bucket overnight.
Yes, exactly. The system batches the data up and thinks about it later. That worked fine when humans took 3 days to decide on a purchase.
But today?
Today, AI-driven decisions happen inside live workflows. They happen in milliseconds.
Milliseconds, wow.
If your personal agent is scanning the web, negotiating a price, or filtering options for you in real time, the brand needs to be able to inject your context, your loyalty discounts, or a personalized offer into that workflow instantly.
Because the AI won't wait.
Exactly. The AI agent is not going to wait around for a batch processed email tomorrow. It will simply buy from a competitor whose servers responded faster. The brand loses your money simply because their computers couldn't talk fast enough.
Wow. So speed is just as important as the data itself.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is why trusted, consented, real-time customer data is the absolute only strategic path forward. Data actually becomes far more strategic in an agent-led world, not less.
That makes a lot of sense.
The winning organizations over the next decade won't be the ones that throw their hands up and declare behavioral data obsolete just because an AI is doing the clicking.
They can't just give up.
No. The winners will be the ones that overhaul their infrastructure to connect human behavior, delegated AI action, and secure identity into one coherent, real-time view of the customer.
So, to summarize the ultimate takeaway for you listening today, the behavioral funnel is not collapsing. It is not dead.
Definitely not dead.
It is just becoming far more contextual, much more uneven, and highly category specific. The interface is absolutely changing. We are moving away from manual mouse clicks and toward AI agents and delegated tasks.
Right.
But the customer and the underlying human intent driving that customer does not change.
Yeah.
You still want the running shoes. You still crave the perfect family cruise. You still need the Wintley groceries. You're just utilizing a much more powerful tool to acquire them.
The human intent remains the anchor. It is just up to the brands to learn how to read the new signals.
But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We've established today that the AI is acting like our personal assistant.
Right, running the errands.
Yeah, it's executing our intent based on our learned preferences and our routines. But here's something to think about.
Okay.
If your delegated AI agent is constantly optimizing your grocery basket for the absolute lowest price, or if it is constantly filtering out new brands it mathematically calculates, you probably won't like it. At what point does the AI's algorithm stop merely executing your intent and start secretly shaping your actual human preferences without you even realizing it?
Oh, wow.
When the machine mediates all your choices and curates your reality, who is really in the driver's seat? Are you still leaving the footprints, or is the assistant deciding where you want to walk?
That is a fascinating question.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll see you next time.